Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Robin is an intuitive, spiritual consultant, and past life regression specialist based in Seattle, Washington. As The Practical Intuitive, she explores life on our conscious, evolving planet, our mother. It's all here, from how the world really works to intuition, the human-animal bond, mediumship, clearing space with space cooperating, and spirituality. It's Robin Fritz, The Practical Intuitive, helping you master body, mind, and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and the show is airing today on July 5th, 2021, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I guess you can tell how old you are by being surprised at what the year is. But we're all in it together, right? So today we're going to talk about citizenship, and not just because it's the 4th of July weekend, a holiday in the United States, and we're beginning to see people getting vaccinated and getting better and people getting out. I'm actually going to a party outside this weekend. I mean, it's like amazing. The world is trying to recover from the pandemic. But as we do that, and as we move forward, as I said, when I restarted my show, where do we go from here? So we'll be talking about that in future shows. And I'm going to be asking questions because who has the answers? There's one being that has the answers, and that's our planet, our mother. But we'll talk about how we find out new ways of living in this new world. And so today I want to talk about planetary citizenship, how we are human in a sentient world, and why that matters, and how we got to where we are today. So as we in the United States celebrate our second Independence Day in the pandemic, and as the world around us gets deep into the middle of the year, we are all trying to recover together, many countries struggling without vaccinations. We're deciding what our new world will look like, and what are we going to leave behind, and what continues to fester, and what breakthroughs do we see, and how do we support mind, body, and spirit and be responsible citizens in a sentient world? So how do we become planetary citizens, and what does that mean for us in our respective countries? So we're going to talk about that today. So again, my name is Robin Fritz. I'm based in Seattle, Washington, where we are for the last few days actually experiencing normal summer. Last weekend, we had 3 days of over 100 degrees, which we have never seen in the time that we've been recording temperatures. I'm sure it's happened before, but I live by the ocean with my reincarnated animal family, Ollie, my Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, who continues to be a handful at almost age 6, and my Russian blue cat, Karis, who doesn't think even 100 degrees is warm enough to get out from under the covers. So that's life at our house. But I offer intuitive and spiritual services and past life regression, and I work with the planet, and I want to talk with you about that today. But let's start by spending a few moments with my business partner, my crystal, Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz. No, I did not give him that name. That's the name he's had all his many, many, many years. And you can experience Fallon throughout the show. You experience him however your intuition works most strongly. So you may hear him talk with you. He tells great jokes. You may see him, and he often appears to people as a gold man. He is a male energy, and some people are afraid of seeing what a soul really looks like. So That means you may see him as a gold man or even experience him as a gold light. You may feel his energy, or you may just simply, broadcasting live here, and my cat has decided that she wants something now. Or you may simply know that Fallon is connected with you, which is hard, you know, when your intuition runs towards knowing. So sit back in your chair. Please don't do this while you're driving. Sit back in your chair and take a deep breath and feel healthy, positive energy going straight to your gut, that space between your belly button and the top of your rib cage. And as you exhale, just feel yourself settling in your chair. And if you take another deep breath, think about what citizenship means to you. And as you exhale, again, just settle in. This is your time, our time to be together. And now, and just you can welcome Fallon's energy. Imagine it as a gold light going straight to your heart. Imagine with each beat of your heart, that's gold light is flooding your body with healthy energy. It's allowing you to tap your self-love. And know that you'll be connected with Fallon throughout the show. So, back to the subject today. Choosing planetary citizenship. What does it mean to be human in a sentient world? And why are we looking at that today? Well, for sure, say the last 300 years, and I would say really since forever, because we tend to point to our ancestors from wherever we are in the world, and our DNA doesn't necessarily align with our ancestral line. For me, it largely does, but we have ancestors all over the world, right? And there's been what we call the shamanic tradition. But even that has not really created the bond or helped us create the bond between human and nature, human and our planet, like I'm inviting you to do today. And not because it's me, but because this is what our mother, our planet, has asked me to do. And we all have a job. And boy, I learned, and I've said repeatedly, I am not a mechanic. I am in awe of the man who does my, who keeps my car running. I'm in awe of the people who keep food on the table for us or in the store so we can buy it. Everyone has a job to do, and this just happened. The last 300 plus years, we have simply not been as connected to our intuition as we could be. And I've noticed this in past life regressions, how people want to talk to a version of themselves in a previous lifetime. And those people, simple people, you know, they're not bogged down by technology. They're not bogged down by, say, the mindset that humans are better than others. They're getting by, they're living their lives, but they were more connected to the world around them than we are. They're more connected to energy and how energy works. And we lost that. We lost that because we allowed ourselves to live more in our minds. We allowed the so-called enlightenment that began in Western Europe to make us think that everything is there in our heads, which is where the misguided scientific idea of quantum physics came from, that everything comes from what we decide we can imagine in our heads. But, you know, now with the pandemic, you know, we've had a big time out. We've, you know, have a chance to change things. We have a chance to say, hey, we stopped. We found out we could still survive. Most of us, we found out that we can take this opportunity to create something different, right? And we're working our way out of the latest calamity to face humans. And not just a pandemic, but waking up to realizing things about our country, say in the world, that we weren't as aware of before. And I will say it for myself first. I knew we had problems with the police. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I've pondered it for years. I didn't understand like white supremacy in the police movement. I did understand the militarization of the police. I do understand the problems of social justice, but it's become more acuter. We become more aware of it. And that's a good thing, right? But right now, as we, you know, celebrate kind of the beginning of summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, as we celebrate the middle of the year, as we look to maybe getting at least a bit of a handle on the pandemic through vaccination. You know, I pause every year, the 4th of July, and think like, what are we doing? This radical experiment in democracy and its foundering, right? So I think we need to think bigger, and that's what I want to talk about today. We need to think bigger and better. We need to think wider than we've been doing. In a sense, our understanding of the world has been very small, and really since the Enlightenment, since we thought we educated ourselves, since we allowed the thought processes of a few white men in Europe to tell us how to think and feel. We've moved away from our knowledge that the world around us is sentient, that our mother, our planet, is sentient. And that's wrong. It's wrong because it's made us smaller. And I'll share some stories about that today. It's wrong because it's made us smaller, and it's wrong because it's basically wrong. So if we want to try to make the world better, why don't we start making it better from the standpoint of how the world really is, and not how we imagine it to be? I think that would make a huge difference. And I hope you think so as well. But there are a few things I want to touch on too about that. And that is rage. And I know you're pausing, you're going like, wait, what? Rage? And I go, rage. Yes, anger. So as we look at how we want a new world to look like, we have to look at what's festering, what continues to fester. And how does body, mind, and spirit deal with that? And wow, have you noticed how angry people are? It's like shocking how the least little thing sets people off. And, you know, I'm not talking about the insurrection here. That's like really pointing to huge imbalance in the United States, but it's also symptomatic of what's going on in other countries around the world. Rage. And it isn't logical, it isn't rational, but it's real, right? And, you know, you kind of ask yourself why. Well, for one thing, we all together, for the first time really since World War II, the entire world is together in a major crisis, right? Something terrible happened to us. Something terrible happened to the world with the pandemic. And we need to recognize that. And I think the rage is symptomatic of our feeling of helplessness, but also our desire to have things be better, and not just for the pandemic to be over, but for things to be different than they were, right? The 18th century Enlightenment is over, right? Because it wasn't that enlightened, right? Because we can all be something new and better together. So rage, have you noticed it? I mean, we've talked about, oh my gosh, the increase in shootings in the United States, but just the increase in rage all over the world. Militaries toppling governments, and anger. And I've seen it in myself. So I'm going to point to myself first and say there's one thing that will set me off regardless. And that's when I see people abusing their dogs on the street. And I used to be this quiet person. You know, I used to take whatever crap was thrown at me, whatever injustice, and there have been plenty in my life. And I'm not taking it anymore. But that rage in me is, I feel, is justified, although it probably should not be expressed as it is. But I will never stop being angry at people who abuse their dogs on the street. But here's an example of the rage that I'm talking about. And I surprised myself. So I was walking down the street one day with my dog, Ollie. Ollie is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. He'll be 6 the end of July. He's a reincarnation of my previous dogs, even his previous self as Alki, who died in 2014. And our experience with Alki dying was violent and terrifying. And I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. It was horrific. And tried as I could, over 10 months, I couldn't save his life. And that created anger in me. It created PTSD. It created panic disorder, right? But Ollie and I are getting through this, and we're living our lives. And Cavaliers are... And they are dogs that can't defend themselves from anything but a cookie, right? They're not going to be able to. They just aren't built that way. They don't even have the teeth for it. I mean, you've got terriers have strong teeth. Cavaliers, yeah, cookie strong teeth. So one day a woman was walking by me. She was behind us on the street. Our street is closed to through traffic. Thank goodness. It's one of the streets in Seattle where they've decided that maybe we don't need to cater to cars, we can maybe cater to the residents. So while the locals drive on the streets, they're pretty open for walking and biking and rollerblading and whatever people want to do. It's pretty cool, really. So a woman is walking behind us, and I turn and I see her, and she walks by me and she says, "Can my dog meet your dog?" And I said, "No, because I don't do that. I don't let strange dogs meet my dog. After losing my dog in a violent attack, there's no way." I said, "No." And as she walked by me, she said, "You're abusing your dog by not letting my dog greet your dog." All right. So it's time for a break. I'll finish this story after the break, and then we'll talk about what that means for looking at citizenship and rage and how we manage ourselves in this new world that we're creating. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Andrea Bovey, licensed insurance agent at BoveyInsurance.com. Andrea specializes in affordable health insurance for Americans of all ages. Yes, affordable health insurance exists. It's called a defined benefit plan. It's a budget concept. That means you'll be able to see any doctor, access outpatient services, receive covered preventative services such as mammograms and colonoscopies, enjoy unlimited free virtual doctor visits, and be covered for urgent care, ER, and hospital visits. But there's more. During a free consultation, insurance agent Andrea Bovey can help you decide if you should add critical illness or accident coverage so all your risks are covered when something serious occurs. All this while still delivering savings. Yes, the premiums can be much lower than those in the Affordable Care Act plans. Ready to check it out? Go to BoveyInsurance.com to book a free consultation with insurance agent Andrea Bovey. Andrea is based in Arizona, but she works by phone and webinar so she can help you wherever you are in the United States. One more thing. If you're nearing your 65th birthday or you are already on Medicare, Andrea can assist you with Medicare health and drug plans. Andrea works with her clients to find the best healthcare products at the best prices. Ready to learn more? Contact Andrea Bovey at BoveyInsurance.com. That's BoveyInsurance.com.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today, the 5th of July, 2021, we're talking about choosing planetary citizenship, or how we become human on a sentient world. So you're asking yourself, why are you deviating from the story? The story that I started to tell, talking about rage, and I'm talking about anger, and I'm talking about what's justified and what isn't justified. And so I was telling the story about the woman who wanted to her dog to meet my dog, and I said no. And she said, "You're abusing your dog by not letting your dog meet my dog." I went up like a firecracker. But interestingly enough, not like I had been in the previous years before I understood that I suffered from PTSD and a panic disorder. In previous years, we had dogs running loose down here. The one good thing about the pandemic down here is that people are putting their dogs on leashes. I wish, I wish I could say something better. It's like, I do not want to have a worldwide pandemic so people would put their dogs on leashes. But that's at least one thing that's improved, because, we didn't know, right? And people just started behaving better. But they'd let their dogs run loose. Their dog would jump my dog. And the vision of losing my dog and losing the use of my hands for a year because we were mauled by a vicious dog terrified. And I'd scream at people, literally at the top of my lungs. I mean, till I was just this out of control, weird, horrible person screaming. Well, not horrible, but out of control for sure, and screaming, which I had never done. In this case, my anger ran so deep that I just went cold. And I don't actually remember the exact words I used, but I called her lots of bad names, which I'm not going to repeat here, in a loud but controlled voice, which I think is even more terrifying. And don't you ever talk to people like that. Don't you ever talk to me. No, don't you turn around. And she turned around. But lady, I said, no, you keep your mouth shut. You do not look at me. You do not look at my dog. You turn around and you keep walking. And she kept turning back. And I go, like, no, you keep walking. Don't even look at us. That was a rage, right? But it was a controlled rage. And it was focused on one thing, that you don't get to say that to me, number one. You're being abusive, number two, and I'm calling you on it, number three. But it is also, I thought about it later, because my anger was really, well, it was justified for saying I was abusive, but it was really out of proportion. She was just being dumb, right? But to me, it was also symptomatic of the rage that we're seeing festering around us, and that we need to get a control on it. We need to get a control on ourselves. And that's part of what I want to talk about, a citizenship of. How are we citizens on the planet? I could have gone about that in a different way. I could have said, no, thank you. Right. But I just said, no, I was focused on something else. I was spending time with my dog. I just, I could have maybe said something different. I'll still pay 99% of the blame on her for saying something like that. I have no idea what would prompt a comment like that or what was going on in her head. But isn't that the thing? When we're angry, when we're full of rage, are we really listening to ourselves or to what we're angry at or about? And I think that's one thing that the last year and a half has done, is it's loosened our control over ourselves. And so how do we rein that back in? We choose a different way of living, right? We choose a different way of responding. So we choose resilience for one thing, right? And yes, I am still going to yell at people who abuse their animals on the street. There's no way I'm going to let that go, right? Ever, right? Which means I'm probably going to get into more trouble. But I'm not going to let that go because it's wrong, right? And people need to be called on it. So, but you can still choose a way of dealing with your rage and your anger, and you can choose a way of dealing with it that keeps us all as citizens together. And that incident did not do anything to create citizenship with people. In fact, it made people around us cross the street to avoid me because they could see how angry I was, but they could also see how in control of that anger I was and how I was focusing it, which might be even more terrifying, right? Because I knew exactly what I was doing. Are we knowing exactly what we're doing? I mean, how we've had this increase in gun violence in the United States, just shocking, this in the last year or so. So here's what we think. Here's what we do. We know what's festering. We know what the problem is. We're afraid. We're uncertain. And fear and uncertainty can take us down. And when we're raging, we're not citizenship. We're not part of the whole. We're not looking at each other as, what's wrong for you today? Can I help? Can we help each other? Do we just need to walk away? And on top of that, you know, the rage that I had that day, what I have really noticed in the last year and a half is the uncontrolled rage of men. And another dog incident where I was out with my dog. He was peeing, and I didn't see the two people with their two labs coming up behind us. And the woman, I saw her coming. A woman let her dog, her lab, walk up right to my dog. My dog's back was to this dog, right? He didn't see him. And I turned to the woman. I said, "What are you doing?" You know, I didn't even yell at her, which was abnormal for me because I'll yell if somebody scares me. And she pulled her dog away, and it was the man with her who started swearing at me at the top of his lungs, just really vicious stuff. And the woman, and he walked by, and of course, and I just let loose with my vicious mouth because I didn't control myself. But I was stunned to look at him and to realize that she was afraid of him. And I was like, what are we doing, people? Not choosing to be citizens together. So if we're going to choose a different world, what is it going to look like, right? That we choose hope, that we choose resilience, that we choose courage and patience. And patience is something I need to learn with people and their dogs on the street. But like I said, I'm still going to choose to yell at people who are abusing their dogs. I don't know why, because they deserve it, you know? And am I being like not disrespectful, but am I like being off topic here? No, because we need to choose what we're going to do to be part of society. And that's what citizenship is all about. How are we going to be just not ourselves and alone in isolation, but part of the whole? And how are we going to contribute to that? And what is it going to look like? So let's look at our experiment here, this experiment in the United States. You know, we chose this very noble experiment to govern ourselves. And all of us who came here, you know, from Europe, we were outcasts from where we were, most of us. You know, we were either poor, or we had the wrong religious beliefs or whatever. And we got kicked out of where we were. We tried to find another place that we could be a family together. And we all came here, right? And this is a radical experiment. It was a radical experiment then, and it still is. Is democracy succeeding in other parts of the world? Not so much anymore, right? Because it's been usurped by this autocratic tendency that we're seeing in other countries around the world. It's looking messed up, right? So, you know, what's the answer? We look bigger, we don't look smaller. We look at the bigger world and not the small one that we're living in. So we start educating ourselves. You know, I look at some of these people, and I'm back to the dogs. I look at how people interact with their dogs on the street, and I think back to when I got my first dog in my early 20s, and I just didn't know a lot. So part of me has to go, okay, you know, they don't understand this. Or even though they were warned last weekend in Seattle, 3 days of over 100 degrees, we had over 200 dogs suffering heat exhaustion, not all of whom made it because their people were stupid, right? Or they weren't paying attention, right? We don't always pay attention. And so I look at some of the things that our people are doing and I think, okay, you know, give them a break at a point or find a way to create community out of that. I'm not always going to not yell at them. Okay, so back up and say, I am still going to yell at people, especially if they behave the way that woman behaved to me. But the level of my anger stunned me. Even as I was doing it, I was stunned at myself. It's like years of being repressed just came flying to me. I'm not going to do that anymore. And in a sense, it's good, right? Because I'm standing up for what I think is the right way to be citizens. And all the little small ways. I mean, as we look at Independence Day, we can say, oh, yeah, well, we need to fly our flags and we need to obey the speed limits. And listen, if you're not getting vaccinated in the pandemic, then you are not a citizen, period, of any country or any population of the world. It's not about you. It's about all of us together. And that's what citizenship means. It's all of us together. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I would like to be. Just ask my dog and cat. They'll tell you she's not perfect. But I try most of the time to be better. And that's what we can do together. We can, and we can educate ourselves. You know, Franklin Roosevelt's the one who said, democracy cannot succeed unless those who express their choice are prepared to choose wisely. The real safeguard of democracy, therefore, is education. And boy, do we need to be educated. We need to educate ourselves. We can't just go to work, come home, turn on the TV. We need to sit down with other people and talk about what does citizenship mean to you? What does it mean to you to be part of a neighborhood or a city? What does it mean to you to take care of the homeless? What does it mean to help somebody who needs childcare right then and there? What does it mean to be just a good neighbor? I had a neighbor take me on a very long journey to see a specialist because I had a severe hip injury. And she was being kind because I was upset, right? And that's what we do for each other, right? We step in and we help each other. But we educate ourselves, too, on what it means to be in community, what it means to be citizens. So throughout the pandemic, throughout the social unrest, throughout the political crap that's been going on in the United States and in other countries, this rise of nationalism, which focuses on a few people who want to control the rest. Let's not be gullible. Let's not put aside common sense. Let's choose to be broad-minded and open-minded, right? And believe that we're all in it together, and you know, because we are, right? And be when you go into a rage like I did that day, was it fear? No, I wasn't afraid of her. I was really angry, right? But fear also prompts it, right? Fear is hard. fear is the opposite of love, right? And we need to understand that. And we need to figure out why we're afraid of each other, why we can't come into community together. And, you know, what we need to resolve that. Right now, the United States is in crisis. I'm trying to think how long ago it was, but at least several years ago, no, probably about 5 years ago, I saw the United States breaking up into individual nation states. And I saw it on a 20-year time frame, and now it's down to 10. And I honestly think that Mr. Biden will be our last president. And it's at once sad and frightening, but, you know, there's so many different factions, but they seem to be regionalized as well. You know, and maybe that's what we call growth. I don't know. But is there a way to save what we've chosen in this democracy? And yeah, let me tell you about it. It's called looking at the various aspects of body, mind, and spirit. Looking at what we can do, body, mind, and spirit. And then looking at the overall worldview. What if what we think of as democracy or as a country is really only the beginning? What if it's only a part? What if being a citizen of the United States or France or the United Kingdom or Argentina or New Zealand, what if that's only a small part of the whole? Then what would the whole be? Well, continents, right? But a planet, right? And if you looked at the planet and you looked at it as being conscious and being aware and being sentient, and you looked at how we view the world in a different way, as everything being alive and everything having a soul, well, then we get to the next story that I'm going to tell after the break. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Just lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about, in a roundabout way, planetary citizenship. What it is to be human in a sentient world. So, right? So we've talked about rage. We've talked about the pandemic, how there's a new world coming. And I've shared with you the decreasing timeline of our country, the United States, not being the United States of America anymore. Sad, but nothing lasts forever, except maybe the desire to love and to choose love. Okay. So, like I said, we've been thinking too small, you know, and this is our opportunity to change how we're thinking. This is our opportunity to create a new world that we better serve and that better serves us, right? To create this cooperative world where we're all in it together. So I bring up again the mindset that I call planetary connection. I made up the name, right? But I did not make up the mindset, right? It was retaught to me by all the beings that I work with, hurricanes and volcanoes and my desk and my computer and animals and trees and cars and our homes and our businesses, all of them over the years sat down and they talked with me. We talked about consequences. And I'll tell more stories about that as we go on. But the idea is that we have been thinking too small again. And we need to educate ourselves. And you can read me. Oh, you can't actually read any of this in a book. Well, you can in my books, but nowhere else. That even our ancestors didn't have quite the grasp on it that we need to have right now. And that's that the world, the universe, okay, but the world is a combination. It's all these different beings, right? And their souls, they're alive, they're conscious. Right? They're sentient. They have jobs to do and they have a choice about doing those jobs. So free choice. They have a responsibility, but also free choice. And believe me, when you start connecting with all of these different beings, when you sit down and respectfully say, would you like to have a conversation? You'd be surprised at the opinions. You think humans are opinionated. Just wait. You'll laugh and you'll also be really sober at what other beings have to say to us. And if you look at the world as a collection of sentient beings, didn't the idea of citizenship just grow exponentially? It's like, oh my gosh, it's much bigger than just humans together. It's much bigger than just our families together. It's much bigger than our planet, but I may get into that today. And again, I may say that for another day. But here, let me tell you this story. So some years ago, I was, okay, I'll say probably goofing off, but just exploring intuitively and experimenting with talking with other beings. It was something that I'd forgotten since I was a kid. And, you know, I'd been born doing that, and I'd doing that as a young child. And the reason I hung on to that is because nobody paid any attention to me. I was a girl and girls weren't worth paying attention to in the mindset that I grew up in, right? So I was just the strangest kid my parents ever knew. Still. And on June 30th, it was 27 years since my dad died. So anyway, one day I was experimenting by talking with other beings and I was suddenly somewhere else, right? It's what I now know as astral traveling. I was suddenly somewhere else, and I could tell I was somewhere else, very conscious that I was astral traveling. And I showed up in this place, and there were all these different beings walking around. You can't even, describe all of them. They, you know, trees that looked like they had human characteristics and all kinds of different beings. And I was fascinated, and I was just looking around, and I could feel that next to me and to each side, there was one other human on each side. So there were three of us, but the other two were hanging back. They were kind of behind me, and I was standing right out there, and I'm looking around, and I'm noticing that there weren't any humans there. And I'm just looking around, and I'm like, there was this like giant table, and it was like everybody was coming together at the table. It was like a party, right? Think of the 4th of July on a universal scale. So I'm looking around, and some were sitting down at the table, some were walking around, but one of those beings, a very tall male figure, and literally people, I only experience other beings as male or female, so I don't get into gender beyond that. So this male figure, very tall, came rushing over to me, and he was very concerned and very upset. And he said, where are the other humans? Where are the rest of the humans? Don't you know how important this is? The planet needs all of us to work together, you know, and I'm staring at him in shock. And I was like, I didn't know that place existed. So I'm pretty sure nobody else did either. So I said, I don't think other humans know this place even exists. Like, what is it? What is this place? And he said, this is the table of life. It's where we all work together to help the planet stay healthy. Where are the other humans? And that's it, right? Where are we? We're not doing our jobs as citizens of the planet. So we need to think beyond our neighborhoods, our families, our neighborhoods, our cities, our counties or states as we have them in the United States, our countries, right? Our continents. We need to think beyond that and to think that we are citizens of this planet and this planet is alive. Now, I told you in the first show, Where Do We Go From Here, that I talk with our mother, our planet. I've done that for years. She's talked with me, but things have changed. There are people that work directly with the planet, and that's their job, and that's my job. And nobody pays me for it, unfortunately. And kind of hard to get the mother to understand that, you know, I have to pay for things and what that means. And it's like, but I need you to do this. And I'm like, okay, fine. Right. But think back to the table of life, people, and think about citizenship and think that the only empty seats at the table of life were reserved for humans and we were not there. And I'm sure lots of you listening would want to be there, right? Because you should be. We just didn't know about it. So tell that story to everybody you know that's going to listen, that's going to believe that what we used to think of as humans, as guardians and caretakers of the planet, isn't true. We're equals with all life, and every single life has a purpose. Our trees, our computers, our homes, right? Our cars. I'll be telling stories about cars coming up in future shows, about trees, about other beings that I meet on a regular basis, about what it means to clear space in cooperation with the space. And think about the table of life. Think about what that means for you as citizens. But let's look at what body, mind, and spirit can help us with as we think about citizenship. So we've got bodies, right? We feed and we nourish our bodies. Hopefully we educate them. Honest to goodness, people, with the conspiracy theories I've heard in the last year and a half, I've gone from outright laughing to just being concerned about how people are thinking and why they're thinking the bizarre things that they're thinking. I mean, come on, it doesn't even make sense, right? And I ask myself, why do people believe things that don't make sense? You know, are they not eating right? Are they not educating themselves? That's the mind part. But literally, you can't do anything without a healthy body. And I've had this conversation with people lately, and it's come to my attention parts of the country don't realize that they need to take care of their bodies. I mean, here in Seattle, age isn't a factor unless you're handicapped. And I've been handicapped for years, right? And age isn't a factor unless you become so old that you can't move anymore for one reason or another. And that can happen. I mean, I've lived with animal families. Their bodies just get old and frail, right? But you're not there at a certain age, right? So get your body into shape, get it moving. I have to tell you, one of my biggest disappointments this year is that I had a severe tendon injury, and thank God for steroids. Never thought I'd like a steroid shot, but oh my God, what a wonderful thing. But it's keeping me out of the ocean all summer, which is very disappointing because I was going in the ocean in December when the ocean was 46 and the air temperature was 42, and now the air temperature is in the 80s and the ocean is 56. You know, it'd be cool to be out there, but it's like, no. But feed and nourish your body. Your body is the first thing you need to take care of. If your body isn't healthy, everything else is gone. And trust me, I know this because I've been handicapped for many years. I had to fight to get healthy again. So take care of your body, your mind, right? So we talked about the mind. We talked about rage. And we've talked about how to modify it. Resilience, courage, hope, understanding, maybe peace. I'm still thinking about that lady who told me I abused my dog because I wouldn't let him meet her dog. That's like insane, right? But how do we live with each other? We work to educate ourselves. We patiently try to help the people we know are deluded to figure out what to think for themselves. So we work on our minds. We work on our beliefs. We work on our common sense. And we work on our connection with other beings and spirit. So a lot of people get the whole spirit thing kind of mixed up, like intuition is all about spirit. Well, it's not, right? But spirit is thinking about the table of life, very simple thing. Think about the table of life where all of those beings were sitting down to talk about how they could help the planet, and they were all upset because there weren't humans at the table of life. You can be there at the table of life. You should be there. That's your job. That's your job as a soul that chose a human body, just as it's the job of my dog who chose a dog body and my computer, Your Majesty, she says her name is, who chose to be a computer in this particular incarnation. And think of democracy, our citizenship that we've chosen as this particular form for us right now, as sacred. Think of our lives as sacred and our jobs on the planet as sacred and our need to recognize that everything around us, starting with our mother, our planet, is sentient. And how do we live together in a sentient world? That's what we need to be thinking about. So as we expand, you know, to being human in a sentient world and looking at body, mind, and spirit and looking at each of those areas and how can we continue to improve our personal lives in those areas? How can we be open and loving, not just to ourselves, but to other people? I'm going to think about it later, but even to the people who say nasty things to you about your dog on the street, right? But think of something like democracy as a world ideal. So what is it about democracy? The idea that we can govern ourselves, right? And that together, in harmony with all the beings on the planet, we can govern ourselves together. We can help our planet be the healthiest that she could be and help her continue to grow. You know, she's constantly evolving. She's not the same mother that she was even a decade ago, right? She's our mother, and she's the basis of everything. So we look at all life as being sacred, that we need each other, that we are all equal and divine, right? Every being. I have to pause when I see a spider, for example, or an ant, which are driving me nuts right now. We are all accountable for our actions, right? Even our rage. We all have jobs and responsibilities, and we need to think about consideration and respect and compassion and self-love. What does self-love do for you? Serve each other, serve ourselves, and hope that we will get help when we need it, that we can offer help when it's needed, and that we choose integrity, we choose responsibility, and we choose service. And if we looked at life as it really is, as sentient, as conscious, as everything having a soul and a job to do and a responsibility to do it and free choice and opinions, then we're really human. And we're really living on a sentient planet. And, you know, we always make mistakes. We make mistakes throughout history, right? And we're always making mistakes. The problem is we need to keep learning from them. And we kind of stopped learning in this last year and a half. We were fighting for survival and we stopped connecting with each other. In body, mind, and spirit, we can start over with love. So love yourself first and extend that out, body, mind, and spirit, to everybody around us. And maybe we can come together and maybe planetary citizenship can be a real thing. I mean, it is for every other being, but humans, and humans now know we can strive to be connected and equal with the rest of the planet. And truly, we are not alone. anymore when we think that. Right now, we're looking for life on other planets. Well, yes, it's out there, and yes, it's coming, because I've talked with them. And I'm like, what? But here's the thing. We need to reach out with love. And we need to try and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And we need to be citizens. So whatever that means to you, reach out and explore the world around you. Explore the world as a sentient being. Use your intuition, however it works for you, to connect with the world around you. Go out and visit a tree. Go out and find out what your car is up to, or the sidewalk, or your government buildings. I literally had an encounter with the U.S. Capitol several weeks after the insurrection. I wasn't expecting that. That being came here. There, everything is alive. So think about that. Choose citizenship. Choose love. Choose being part of the world as a sentient whole. We'll talk about this more. You can connect with me at my website, robinfritz.com. Let me know how I can help. I offer a variety of services. And you can find my book on the afterlife. The afterlife is a party, what people and animals teach us about love, reincarnation, and the other side, at Amazon currently. I have other things coming up. Join me here at Om Times Radio on the first and third Mondays of the month. Thank you for joining me. Take care. Figure out what planetary citizenship means to you, and then go do it, my friends. Thank you and goodbye.